Hello everyone and welcome back to Disneyland Paris Now. Let's talk about all the things from the most magical place in Europe, Disneyland Paris. I'm Eric Anderson and this is the episode for the 5th week of January. Yes, today we'll be talking about some common mistakes to avoid while visiting Disneyland Paris. But first, there's a new character breakfast coming to, help me out here Google.
L'Auberge de Cendrillon.
The Festival of Pirates and Princesses is well underway at Disneyland Paris, and there is some exciting news if you're a hashtag Team Princess. From February 12th to April 1st, 2019, there's a new character breakfast that's going to be held for those who really want to experience Pirates and Princess Festival from all angles. Parkgoers will be able to enjoy a newly refined table service breakfast at either 8:15 a.m. or 9:45 a.m. The experience is going to be located in the enchanting setting of the Auberge de Cendrillon, the heart of Fantasyland. You're going to be able to, well, not wine, but dine in the company of the Disney princesses who'll come by personally to meet you. The table service breakfast includes a hot plate of salty delights, including scrambled eggs, sausages, salted Mickey waffles, pan-fried vegetables, breads, pastries, and an assortment of sweet and savory dishes, as well as a cold drink and a hot drink. This is making my stomach rumble just thinking about it. The price is going to be €49 for adults and €39 for children. The pre-sale for this experience is going to start on February 6th for visitors staying at Disneyland hotels and the resorts, as well as an assortment of recommended Disneyland Paris hotels. Or 3 days before each date, for all park visitors, based on availability. Also, we just got in the name of the new Lion King musical that will be premiering this summer at the Chaparral Theater in Frontierland. Which, by the way, has been almost completely rebuilt from the ground up into a more substantial venue than before. Notably, those super annoying rooftop supporting columns that were blocking so much of the audience views are gone, and a brand new detailed facade will face the Disneyland Railroad Station. The new stage show is going to be titled The Lion King Rhythm of the Pride Lands. And it really looks like it's going to be an awesome combination of the two parks' former hit shows, fusing the acrobatics of the long-running The Tarzan Encounter with the dramatic staging and musical excellence of The Legends of the Lion King, which used to play in Discoveryland's tiny, tiny Videopolis Theater from 2004 to 2009. We're going to get to see Broadway quality leads and really awesome special effects inside the parks, which is super cool since we're kind of missing some awesome theater-based shows right now. In other areas of the parks, we're also going to get some extra mini shows and light atmospheric events. The Jungle Book Jive is going to be a musical parade event featuring Baloo, King Louie, helping explore Mickey into a journey through the four worlds. So we're going to get to see Mickey in the Jungle Book universe. That sounds like an interesting combination. I'm really excited to see what they do here. Also, there's Timon Mata Dance, which will be a street dance along, and there'll be exotic animal characters, live music from the African Djimbi drums? Oh gosh. African Djimbi drums? I hope that's how you say it. In Adventureland, and the newly christened Djimbi Joy Village. Djimbi Joy Village. Try saying that three times fast. Djimbi Joy Village. Djimbi Joy
Maybe
Village.
It's Djambe?
Djimbi? Oh gosh. You guys, if one of you knows how to pronounce it, please send me a voice message over Instagram or Twitter or something. Alright, so we've put together a list of some common mistakes to avoid while visiting the parks and even beforehand while planning your visit. At number one, it's not checking for attraction closures or refurbishment. Listen, we all hate it when our favorite rides are down, but no Disney park is immune to the thousands of fabulous parkgoers having the best time on the attractions. All those visitors, though, means that the attraction is being put through the mill. So from time to time, our favorites do have to close for a bit of well-deserved R&R. Not to mention a new paint job and safety checks. Since Disney is all about delivering a consistent, high-quality experience, broken animatronics, malfunctioning rides are just not going to cut it. So every once in a while, the rides will close for a few months. I'm looking at you, Phantom Manor, for refurbishments. Think about Phantom Manor alone, for example, which has an hourly capacity of around 2,400 guests. That's nearly 19,200 guests per day and nearly 134,400 guests a week. I can go on and on here, but I think we all get the idea. Thankfully, it's super easy to check attraction closures and refurbishments on Disneyland Paris' official website. I'll put a link in the show notes. Number 2, not using FastPass. For those of you who don't know, Disney's FastPass service is a virtual queuing system that was first introduced in late 1999. It allows guests to avoid long lines at the attractions by giving out a designated time, or so-called return slot, to ride your favorite FastPass attractions. This basically frees up time for you to enjoy other attractions, walk around the park, do whatever you like during your wait. Unlike Walt Disney World, where FastPass Plus lets you make reservations in the app, in Paris we're still using paper FastPass, which is acquired at FastPass machines located throughout the park. So how it works is you walk up to the machines with your tickets, scan it, and it's going to print out a little paper FastPass with a designated time on it. This is your return slot, and that's going to let you skip the regular line and just walk right on. So the cool thing about this is that if you plan your FastPasses cleverly, and the park isn't crazy full at capacity or anything like that, you can easily manage up to 6 FastPasses in a day, which is awesome. Now, just so you're aware, not all the rides at Disneyland Paris have FastPass available. So these are the following rides that do. In Disneyland Park, it's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril in Adventureland, Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain in Discoveryland, Buzz Lightyear's Laser Blast, also in Discoveryland, Big Thunder Mountain in Frontierland, Peter Pan's Flight in Fantasyland, and Star Tours, again, in Discoveryland. Over in Walt Disney Studios Park, we've got Rock'n Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith in the backlot, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror in the production courtyard, and Ratatouille the Adventure near Toon Studios. Also, if you're staying at the Disneyland Hotel's Castle Club level rooms, you get a VIP FastPass, which can, by the way, also be purchased if you're not staying there. This lets you use the FastPass lane as much as you want and saves you a ton of time waiting in line. Also, you guys, just a quick side note here. I know all of us don't really like waiting in line, but Disney makes the queuing experience so pleasant, and a lot of times the queue is actually used to tell part of the attraction story, and it gets you in the mood. So while we all want to avoid, you know, super long, crazy queues, it's often nice to experience the regular queue. Like, if it's only a 15-minute wait, it's worth taking the queue because, especially if you're going on a ride for the first time, it just transports so much of the story, so much of the experience, and it really just gets you in the zone. Number 3. Going through the Discoveryland arcades on the right and left sides of Main Street USA. So most day-to-day park goers don't realize that on either side of Main Street USA, there are these drop-dead gorgeous Discoveryland arcades. Not only do they let you escape from the crowds, but they provide a nice and dry spot when the weather throws a fit. Besides the elaborate theming of the arcades, they also give you easy access to the shops located on Main Street and showcase American cities and inventions from the late 20th century as they were envisioned a century ago. I love me some Victorian retrofuturism. Number 4. Not visiting Walt Disney Studios Park. While Disneyland Paris's Castle Park is definitely the flagship and takes the crown as one of the most detail-rich Disney parks, the Walt Disney Studios Park is pretty much a loose and incoherent collection of rides, several of which are amazing though, and you should definitely not miss them. Although the only truly immersive area is the Ratatouille and Toy Story areas of the park, it's still a must-see. It features amazing Disneyland Paris exclusives like Crush's Coaster, a unique version of the Rock'n Roller Coaster, and the Ratatouille Adventure. So while you're there, go ahead and check it out. Give the park a bit of a break over its lack of cohesion. Disney's already announced that they're going to be addressing that. They announced this amazing new expansion and revamp for the park over the next few years that's going to fix that right up. Either way, it's still a really fun park, so it's not to be missed. Number 5. Not wearing comfortable shoes, you guys. This is the one that Disney fans have come to expect of the parks, particularly larger resorts like Walt Disney World. It's got 4 theme parks, 24 hotels, and encompasses 25,000 acres. But most first-time visitors are surprised by the amount of walking at Disneyland Paris. While moving around inside the 2 theme parks, you cover roughly the same amount of terrain. It's the walking you're going to be doing outside of the park that's going to surprise you. Like Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris was master-planned to be all-inclusive, Disney bubble type of experience. Unlike Walt Disney World, though, the entire resort at Disneyland Paris is walkable. It's easy to go all the way from the Hotel Santa Fe to Park Disneyland in a quick 15 to 20 minute walk by foot. So a lot of folks, and I'm including myself here, rather than utilize the free shuttle buses that the resorts offer. Doing this at least 2 times a day, plus regular in-park walking, does add up. And, you know, Europe in general requires a lot of walking. So if you're visiting Paris or elsewhere as part of your Disneyland Paris vacation, make sure you're conditioned for walking at least 16 kilometers or 10 miles per day. Those comfortable sneakers are going to save your life at the end of the day. Your throbbing, aching feet will be forever grateful. Number 6. Not visiting the Dragon's Lair under the castle. Disneyland Paris is the only castle-type Disney park that features a dragon underneath the castle. The Dragon's Lair can be located by entering Fantasyland by the left-hand entrance to the lower left of Sleeping Beauty's castle. The entrance to the sign reads in French, help me out here, Google,
La Tanière du Dragon.
And there is usually no wait time since it's a walkthrough attraction. And the dragon can actually be seen via a little-known entrance via the glassware shop inside the castle itself. This amazingly huge hidden animatronic dragon is the literal embodiment of what makes Disneyland Paris so special. It's all about the details, darling. Number 7. Expecting Disney World or Tokyo Disney enthusiasm from cast members. One of the biggest Disney veteran complaints after having visited Disneyland Paris is the different culture they encounter. The two most frequent remarks are those regarding the large quantity of smokers and unenthusiastic cast members. So the first issue is simple. It's kind of cliche, but it's Europe. You're going to find a lot of people who smoke here. Sadly, it's still vive la cigarette here. The second concern is a little trickier. For a lot of cast members, working at Disneyland Paris is, well, just another job. The reality, though, is that most cast members working at Walt Disney World or any other Disney park, for them, it's just another job. Of course, there are the superlative cast members who go above and beyond, and we've got a few of those in Paris as well. These folks will go the extra mile to give you the excellent experience you can only find in Disney parks. The difference is that the average cast members usually lack that Disney enthusiasm in Paris. Although, to be fair, even at Walt Disney World, you will occasionally find a cast member who will smile and half-heartedly recite a corporate speech line such as, "Have a magical day," which I personally love, actually, so I'm not bashing that at all. Please don't get me wrong. Europeans, and Parisians especially, however, are not big on fiend enthusiasm. And this type of interaction is almost non-existent at Disneyland Paris. Our account is in no way or form meant to throw any shade on Disneyland Paris's cast members. Disney parks tend to attract a lot of passionate people, and I've personally experienced several cast members there who are super excited to be there and make the best of your day. And really, all Disney parks offer a high level of customer service on the whole. Number 8. Not enjoying the details, design, and theming. Disneyland Paris is really like a fine dining experience, and I'm not talking about the food here, hunty. The park is meant to be enjoyed slowly, rather than a commando-style racing from attraction to attraction type experience. If you're a pure roller coaster fanatic, the fastest this, the biggest that, Six Flags, Disneyland Paris might do very little for you. However, if you're a fan of the design, details, and incredible immersion that make Disney parks a cut above the rest, Disneyland Paris will speak to you in a way that no other castle park can. This is like the Louis Vuitton of castle parks. No expense was spared, making the place a gold mine of hidden design elements and incredible details. So, while you're there, take some time just to wander around the park, take some pictures, and soak up the Oscar-worthy thematic design. Much like Tokyo DisneySea, it kind of feels like the Imagineers were given free rein and a blank check to create the most amazing park ever. At the end of the day, the theming and the experience is really what matters and why we love Disneyland Paris so very much. Number 9. Not using the Disneyland app. This is a no-brainer, you guys. If you have a smartphone, download the app right now if you've not already done so. You can check out wait times for attractions, see what's currently closed for refurbishments, find certain rides or restaurants or even restrooms on the interactive map, and so much more. Also, totally no worries if you don't have a data plan while visiting Disneyland Paris. There are numerous Wi-Fi hotspots located throughout the park to work with. Number 10. Last but not least, forgetting to make restaurant reservations. Even though compared to parks like Tokyo Disney, Disneyland, and Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris is a lot more relaxed on a regular day. Dining locations, though, especially the sit-down restaurants, do fill up fairly quickly. So don't get left out on the curb in front of Cap'n Jack's restaurant with puppy dog eyes. Be sure to make a dining reservation in advance. You can do this by calling the reservation hotline, I'll put a link down below, or at your Disney hotel. This week's question is from Jessica, and she wants to know, hi Eric, I was just wondering what attractions offer ride photos, and if I can see and order prints on my app like in Disney World. Hey Jessica, thank you so much for your question. So ride photos are available on several attractions at Disneyland Paris, and here they are. So in Disneyland Park, it's Big Thunder Mountain, and the picture is taken right when the water splash drop happens. On Pirates of the Caribbean, and here the image is taken on the second main drop through the Burning Village. On Buzz Lightyear's Laser Blast, and here the camera is located just after the hyperspace tunnel, the scene where Zurg is defeated. Space Mountain Mission 2, on the first drop into the Columbiad Canyon. And over at Walt Disney Studios Park on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. So when the doors open at the very top and your elevator drops for the second time, that's when the magic happens. And finally, on Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, just milliseconds after the launch on the first straight. Sadly, we don't have the magic band system yet at Disneyland Paris, so you won't be able to view any of your photos on the Disneyland app. If you would like to get access to the images or printouts, it's the old-fashioned pick it up at the kiosk by the ride exit way. Alternatively, you can also use Disney's Photo Pass Plus service, which is valid for 10 days after first use. This lets you save all your souvenir photos by presenting your Photo Pass Plus card to Disneyland Photo Pass photographers, or at the sales kiosks of the previously mentioned attractions, so any attraction that's equipped with an image capturing system. All the photos linked to your Photo Pass Plus card will be transferred to the official website. Your photos will then also be available for viewing on the Disneyland Paris PhotoPass app, and the whole thing is operated by Fujifilm. So thank you so much, Jessica, for that awesome question. If you have any questions regarding Disneyland Paris, or do you just like to get in touch, you can reach us at disneylandparisnow@yahoo.com. You can also find us on Twitter @NowDisneyland and on Instagram @Disneyland_Paris_now. Thank you to WDWNT.com, DisneyTouristBlog.com, and DLPToday.com, all of which are the excellent sources for the information compiled in this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today for Disneyland Paris Now. This is Eric Anderson. Have a great day. Bye-bye.